From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 9th day of April 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A quick reminder that tomorrow the markets are closed in observance of Good Friday. The closing market report and Commodity Week will air and be up on our website on that date, so be sure to check those out. Coming up today, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will be here to check the cash grain market. Gary Schnicki will join us to discuss his updated crop budgets post-COVID-19 and how that changes things going into this growing season in a corn-soybean ratio kind of impact. And we'll take up the weather forecast, too, with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And the numbers as they finished in Chicago: May corn today up a penny and 3/4 at 331 3/4. July 336 3/4, a penny and 1/4 higher. December 350 3/4, up 1.5 cents. The May soybeans up 9 at 863 1/2. July settled 871, 9 1/4 higher. November beans at 875 3/4, up 7 3/4. In January at 878 3/4, 7.5 cents higher. Bean oil up 23 cents. Bean meal down 30 cents for the day. July soft red winter wheat up 9 cents at 557 1/2. Live cattle futures up $1.17 1/2 at $94 even. Feeder cattle 335 lower at $119.52 1/2. And lean hogs at $42.80 down 32 1/2 cents. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday.
More than welcome, Todd.
Well, let's start with today's USDA report. The WASD numbers were released at 11 o'clock this morning. They gave us cash price for the corn now of $3.60 a bushel. That's for old crop, of course. Soybeans at $8.65 and wheat at $4.60. They didn't increase the carryout for corn to 2.092 billion bushels. That's up a couple hundred million from where it was. It's on the higher end of what trade expectations were, but I'm wondering what your assessment might be.
I think this is all basically old news because, I mean, we basically saw the numbers on the March 31st, and then, of course, we know what's happened to the price of corn and ethanol consumption. Everybody's up in the air about that. So I think they went fairly conservative. We'll see where it's at the end of the day, but I guess this is okay for starters, I guess. The one that's going to be scary is going to be the one in May when they incorporate that 97 million acres of corn and multiply that by trend line yield. That one's going to be the one that's going to throw everybody, but that'll probably be priced into the market, but that one's going to look bad for a carryout. And I guess the beans, I don't know how much change that'll do to the beans, but I'm sure it'll impact it somewhat. But this report is just a confirmation of what we already saw, basically, in the March 31st report. And we've all known that Argentina corn crop was maybe a little higher than what they estimated in March, and the bean crop had slipped a little bit. The Brazilian corn crop basically stayed unchanged, but the soybean crop came down 1.5 million bushels or 1.5 million tons or so. So I didn't see any real shockers, and that's kind of why the market really hasn't did anything dramatic anyway. But I do like the soybean price action. I think soybean price action is generally positive towards some price strength in here. We got to take one day at a time, but it kind of looks like we're forming a little head and shoulders bottom on the soybean chart, and that would imply maybe we could maybe pop these November beans up into that 950 area, give or take a quarter. Corn, there's really not a whole lot to say about the chart. We've been basically tracking sideways. We're you know, trying to close higher here today, or we did close higher here today by a little bit. But I think it's going to be real difficult to get corn to do a whole lot. The only thing that I really have is kind of looking at some of my cyclical work, which is just a good guess of what things may or may not be doing. And I think the corn market is in a position here to either stay firm or try to rally into the 15th, 16th of April. And then I think we're going to have a setback as we go into the last week or so of April. That'll probably be led by old crop corn, because we're going to force everybody that has a May basis contract to either price it out or roll it again to the July contract. But I think once we get past that, I'm generally optimistic that this market is going to track sideways to higher as we try to go into the mid-August, plus or minus 30 days. So I would be generally supportive to at least a sideways market, and hopefully we would maybe get a few weather scares along the line that could maybe gin up some rallies that might be selling opportunities for guys. It's kind of hard to tell. We're just going to have to take one day at a time or one week at a time. But that's kind of where I'm at on corn. Pretty much same way on soybeans. Let me get my chart up here. Soybeans, like I said, soybeans already look like they've made their spring low here a couple, 3 weeks ago. And we had a nice little rally. We had a setback last week. And now we're trying to resume the upward momentum. And it kind of looks to me like soybeans are also kind of in the mode here to maybe rally into the 15th, 16th or so of April, or into a mid-April high, then maybe have some kind of setback as we go into the third or fourth week of April, and then take off on a long-term trend, same as corn, that would take us into mid-September, plus or minus 30 days. Now, it's not going to be straight up or straight, you know, sideways. There's going to be some waves in there. But I'm generally, I guess, positive from a cyclical point of view. The only thing I need now is some fundamentals to kind of go along with it. New demand or some weather issues, or some kind of mix of some kind to try to get this market recover a little bit. Let's hopefully we can at least recover what we declined at during the month of March at the height of this coronavirus scare, or the initial scare anyway. Who knows how many more scares there is, but things do look like they might be stabilizing. We'll just have to take one day at a time. stock market, I think, same way. I think stock market is in a sideways to higher trend all the way into the fall or into the year. Bull markets climb the wall of worry, and we got plenty of worry out there.
Indeed we do. I appreciate you taking the time with me today, and thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week, okay?
Okay, Todd.
All right, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Earlier in the week, Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, took another stab at the Illinois crop budgets for both corn and soybeans. Gary, I'm wondering what kind of changes you've seen since COVID-19 entered the United States.
Yeah, so the biggest change is we're looking at lower prices right now. We've revised our 2020 budgets, and we're using current fall delivery bids, which are roughly $3.30 for corn and $8.30 for soybeans. And if you put those prices in budgets, you get very low returns.
How low?
How low? We get a minus $106 return for Central Illinois high productivity land. That's with a 215 bushel yield, as well as we put in ARC PLC payments of $30. Those $30 are a pretty large payment on PLC for corn and very small payment for soybean base acres. So averaged across those base acres, we get $30. So we get a minus $106, and by comparison, we had a plus $20 return last year in Central Illinois. So very low returns, and so that's what we're looking at right now as far as our expectations.
That plus 20, though, included MFP and a crop insurance payment?
Yeah, so the 20 from last year, 2019, we had a $20 farmer return, or what went to the farmer after paying an average cash rent. This would be for a cash rent of $275 per acre. We had MFPs in Central Illinois of $82 per acre on average, so that 20 would have been minus 60 if it hadn't been for those MFP payments. We also had crop insurance in Central Illinois payments of about $10 per acre, and we also are projecting an ARC PLC payment of $10 per acre. So if you take all those things out, we would be back to that minus 106 for 2020 that we're projecting.
All right, so this does not look good for corn. How bad is it for soybeans?
For soybeans, it's we're using an 830 price, and a 830 price, Central Illinois, using a 68 bushel yield, we get a minus $40 return, which isn't as obviously as bad as corn, but still isn't as good. Those returns relative to one another question large moves to corn, which is what USDA is projecting. So we'll see if that actually happens. But in Illinois, the budgets don't suggest a move from soybeans to corn.
And is that kind of the bottom line?
The bottom line is that, yeah, we don't see a shift to corn from our budgets. We're also going to have something good happen to us to get us back to zero. And that could be either MFP payments, above trend yields, or higher prices. Probably a combination of those would be what get us back to our zero return on all these operations.
Hey, thanks, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mike Tenura is here from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being here. Hope things are going well in Chicago.
Yeah, we're hanging in there. Hopefully you're doing fine, too.
Yep, I'm working well, and you know what? A lot of people are working here in the field in the United States. We'll get back to that in a moment, but I do want to turn our attention to other growing areas very quickly. In Brazil, we're watching very closely second crop or safrinha corn. Can you give me any indication of how it's doing?
Well, they saw a decent rainfall on Monday. A round of thunderstorms formed in the key areas of Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul, and that helped to ease some of the dryness that they had been experiencing. But even after all of that rain fell, we can look at rainfall over the past 30 days and see that still right around 77% of second crop corn in Brazil was drier than normal over that period of time. And that includes the rain that happened a few days ago. So that tells us that we need a lot more rain than what we saw. There is some more rain on the way coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Another front will move on through and produce around 1 inch of rain. Then after that, it starts to dry out again. In the end, how's this all going to pan out? Well, that's, you know, a great question and one thing that everybody's been wondering about. But at this point, we have to guess there's some yield losses. I mean, this is just too much dryness at a critical period of time. And with only an inch of rain, when they're averaging around 2 and a quarter inches, every couple of weeks. That's just not enough to get things going. So that'll be something to keep on watching as we move through the end of the month. But a lot of the damage has probably already happened or is happening as we speak.
And speaking of dry conditions, I think that Europe, Russia, Ukraine have been a little on the dry side. What can you tell me about going into their growing season?
Well, it basically stopped raining about 30 to 40 days ago in the wheat belt of Europe, in the wheat belt of Ukraine, and then in the southern wheat areas of Russia. That includes a lot of the world's wheat, because each one of those are the primary wheat growing regions of the world outside of China. So we need to be watching this very closely. We looked at what happened in years past, and we can see that back in 2019, so 1 year ago right now, in April, we did see a pretty big dry stretch develop across the European Union. What happened then is that starting on April 23rd and 24th, it rained a lot, and that continued right through the first 10 days of May. And that's how we ended up with an okay wheat crop. In Ukraine, it also was really dry at this time of the year in 2019, but then we saw some big rains from April 10th through about April 30th, so basically starting just about now. And that's why they also had an okay crop. As we move forward over the next 2 to 3 weeks, it's very difficult to determine how much rain is on the way. There's a couple of upper-level systems that are going to form within the European Union and Russia. And what that's going to do is produce some rain in some different areas at some different times next week and then into the following week. But we're going to need to see these produce some pretty big totals, because if they don't, then all of a sudden we'll be sitting here at the end of April knowing that we had a dry patch that happened in 2018 that we didn't get out of, and that led to some pretty big yield losses. So we're kind of at a critical period of time here. Yes, there is time to go before we have to be overly concerned about it, but we don't have to wait till June, July, or August for this one to unfold. We only need to wait about 2 to 4 weeks, and we'll have some of the key answers. So weather is very important for the wheat crop across these regions. And again, there is some rain on the way, but whether it's going to be a big rain buster or not remains to be seen.
Here in the United States, it was a very warm week, at least early in the week. That's changing and looks like we'll be cooling off next week. Is that correct?
Yeah, we will. There's a lot of cold fronts that are going to move through over the next 7 to 10 days, and that'll keep things much colder than normal. Of particular importance is what happens this weekend. We'll see two systems merge near Illinois on Saturday and Sunday, and then that system will spin up and create a lot of strong winds across the central U.S. Once that system moves out on Sunday and Monday, it drags very cold air for this time of the year into the central U.S. So we're looking for unseasonably cold temperatures early next week, and we'll more than likely see record lows across the plains and western Corn Belt, maybe even into parts of Illinois and Wisconsin. So we'll be watching that one closely, and we even will see some snow with this system as it moves through. There could be several inches of accumulation in parts of Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, maybe even parts of northern Illinois come this weekend. So this is an unusual setup and not exactly what you want to be seeing right now, because as you know, warm and dry weather in April encourages planting, not cold and rainy and snowy weather. But that's what we have to deal with for at least another 7 to 10 days.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Let's chat again next week.
No, we will. Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Let's check out the cash grain situation now with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Hey, good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tom.
So tell me about this report this morning.
Yeah, the report, you know, I think most people are expecting a fairly bearish report, you know, with some demand destruction, for instance. You know, there's no question that we've all been concerned with what it might look like, given the fact that you have seen so much problem with ethanol grind and people going offline. But, you know, in all reality, I guess I was a little bit pleasantly surprised. You know, whenever you look at feed residual going up 150 million bushels, you dropped corn for ethanol 375, you know, you end up at a 2.092. I think it could have been worse than that.
Yeah, so the change was what, just 200 million bushels, I think, over time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, do you think USDA, I think probably they did, considered in that ethanol number the idling of the plants that Poet put forth yesterday?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, 375, I think, was a fairly big jump for them just for this first month. Was it necessary? Yeah, I think it is. In fact, I think that we're going to end up probably yeah, losing even maybe a couple hundred million more than that at least. And so, you know, I think the month of May, you're probably going to be looking at another revision unless we see a dramatic about face in the situation with energy. And obviously, we've got a little rally there, but we're going to need quite a bit more where that came from. But, yeah, I think 375 was pretty big for them for this month. So I think one thing that they're doing, though, is they're saying, you know what, if you're going to take ethanol grind down so low and DDG is going to be hard to get a hold of, they feel like we're going to be feeding more corn. And I felt like feed and residual should have gone up to that level before factoring that in. So I could see feed and residual also growing some.
Turn your attention southward, and we'll stay with corn. CONAB released its numbers this morning. Their total production figure for second crop corn was up, but that looked like that was mostly on number of hectares or acres that they put in the ground. They are dry there as well.
Yeah, they are. And I think that the safrinha crop is definitely more susceptible to the dryness issues than what the first crop has been historically. And so, you know, especially when you get towards the end of their growing season, they enter into a dry season. And so there's no question that the ethanol or not the, that the corn market, if we're going to see some sort of a rally, that we really need to see some sort of issue from a weather perspective down there. It seems to be kind of starting, so we're just going to have to see whether it continues.
Soybeans had a good day in Chicago. What happened?
Yeah, with the bean market, you know, I mean, you actually took carryout up to 480. You know, I don't think that anybody was necessarily expecting that, but, you know, I think whenever you look at this bean market, it's certainly been oversold for a while. Bean meals is still trading at a pretty decent price. You know, you look at front month futures back pushing $300 again. But, you know, I think that demand for beans has been pretty good. Exports were okay, you know, again this morning. I think based upon what we needed, export sales were pretty good. Now, the forecast from the USDA is to be down $50 million. That was probably an adjustment that they needed to make. But, you know, at this stage of the game, I think soybeans look a little bit more attractive than what corn does. And obviously, to people investing in those two markets, they're seeing the same things I am.
Clearly, you're in the office at this point today. But have you been in the field yet?
Yeah. We planted Monday and Tuesday, corn and beans both days. And then we just planted beans there on Wednesday, yeah, I don't know. We're trying to spread our risk out. This cold weather scares me, you know, especially with corn. I think with beans, you know, we planted awfully early with beans before and been okay. But I just didn't want to get a cold shot of water, you know, on top of freshly planted corn. So we backed out of it there yesterday. But we're going to reevaluate and kind of see what the forecast leads us to do. But the ground has been just working beautiful. So it's really hard not to just really run hard.
Indeed. I think that's the case for most people. Hey, thanks so much. And you have a good week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. He joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.